Hello and welcome, everybody. This is the Cole Memo. I'm your host, Cole Preston. Every episode is released in audio, video, and transcript formats. To find the transcript, audio, or video version of any episode, please refer to the description of the episode that you're listening to now. Within that description, you can find a link that will take you to our website, which will display the transcript for this episode and the platforms where you can find this episode in audio or video formats. If you're unable to locate the episode description on whichever platform you're listening from, simply take note of the episode number and visit thecolememo.com. From there, you can use the search functionality in the top right-hand corner to find the corresponding episode, and then you'll be able to access the audio, video, and transcript version of that episode. You might also find any links that we referenced during the episode so that you might be able to do your own research. If you're not listening to this episode of The Cole Memo on Patreon, then you are listening to this episode later than our patrons. To become a patron, go to thecolememo.com/patreon. It's a great way to support our show. Another way to support our show is at thecolememo.com/support. You can make a one-time monthly or yearly contribution of your choice. That's right. You can contribute $1 monthly, which would be $12 a year. And trust me, folks, every little bit counts. This show is funded by listeners like you. It does cost a lot to do this show between hosting fees, equipment, the cost of equipment, traveling, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're able to support us, we would appreciate it. But I will say before we start the show that one of the best ways to support the show is absolutely free. Subscribe to or follow the show. Leave a positive review from wherever you're listening to us from. Favorite this episode, give it a thumbs up, leave a comment, or post a review. I mentioned reviews twice. You can see maybe they're important. Your engagement and support is appreciated. Today is March 1st, 2024. This is once again the Cole Memo, and today I'm sitting down with my friend Jackie. Jackie, how's it going? Oh, and you're still muted. My apologies.
No, sorry, I just got that. I'm go It's going great. And I'm Jackie, president and founder of Cannabis Club Redbird, ag business student at ISU, about to graduate this May. Woo woo.
Hell
And
yeah.
budtender at the Bloomington Cookies. So yeah.
Hell yeah. Cannabis Club Redbirds. I am displaying the website for that right now. Once again, folks, links will be in the podcast description if you'd like to check it out. Once again, Cannabis Club Redbirds at Illinois State University. They're also on social media. There's a bunch of good links on this webpage. You can see work they've done in the media. You can read about them, but let's talk about them. Jackie, you want to tell us about the Cannabis Club at ISU?
Yes. So we're a student club. I founded it because I really wanted to be active in school. I, had scholarships and stuff I wanted to apply for, but I had to be intentional with my time. I'm a non-traditional student. I have three kids at home and I work full time. So I wanted to do something that would really focus on where I wanted to be, which was the cannabis industry. So I had started making kind of links between what I was learning in class and where I was working, which at the time it was the medical store in Normal. And I was able to start asking questions about the cannabis industry, which I did kind of hesitantly at first. And I got really good feedback. In fact, it just I slowly started realizing, ISU, our teachers, they're not against it. They're just kind of waiting for somebody to ask about it, And so I'm like, oh, well, I love asking questions. So I'm gonna start, doing that. And then I was taking ag class and somebody from the industry came, actually Felix Vogel from the Bettering Company. He's a ISU alum and he talked to our class and I was like, kind of sat on that a moment and started the club. And we went from having, I want to say, 15 members, maybe right out the bat, a pretty solid council, to now we are sitting at 110 members. We have two advisors. And, I feel like we're kind of doing a lot of cool stuff on Illinois State campus and, getting some good education while we can.
And while we're talking about cool stuff, you got what is it, 420 coming up?
Yeah, so we're gonna host a relaxation station on the quad. It's not a consumption event, but we plan to have snacks and we plan to I just made that last night at work.
Nice.
But yeah, we're gonna do snacks. We have some sponsors lined up. We're gonna do some really cool giveaways. So the 20 after or 20 after every hour, we're gonna put a better prize, like a big prize, on our prize wheel. Boyd and Heather LaFoon with Vineyard Accounting has donated a $25 gift card. We have to decide exactly what store we want it for. But my job, my bosses at my job at Cookies have donated a $100 gift card towards some of the snacks and stuff that we're gonna be giving away, and then a rise. So we have like some great we have other sponsors, Enliven, Illinois Psychedelic Society. So yeah, it's gonna be great. We're planning on having as much educational material out there for folks to see. We're gonna have like QR codes for people to follow us and our sponsors. So yeah, we just really want to have a good presence, give people, the idea, we're cannabis, we're not going anywhere. You can still be that person who is a consumer of cannabis and do fun, cool things. I think that with a lot of with academia, especially there's like an either or situation. So we're kind of like trying to meet in the middle and be like, here we are. So this is our first event to foray out on the quad. We tried to have a big sale last Halloween and it happened to snow that day. So we had to move inside. So we were hoping to have like some great exposure then, get people out talking to us. And so this is kind of that thing. And we'd be easy to find. So if like community members want to come by, show some support, they're more than welcome to as well.
Very cool. Very cool. I'm super excited for this.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
that's just one event of the week. We will start out by actually, you helped me find our speaker, the Chicago canna nurse, Katie Sullivan. She's
Oh,
going to
yeah.
come talk to us about a topic of ADHD, neurodivergency in cannabis use, which was a topic that was requested of us by the Neurodivergent Students Society at ISU. So we're kind of partnering with them on this endeavor, which is really cool. So we hope to have a good turnout that day. We also will hopefully get some folks going down to Springfield on the 18th to work with the Canna Equity Illinois Coalition, because they're doing a lobbying day. So I spoke with them earlier this week, and we're going to try to help them by amplifying some of their issues and their wants, to get people more aware of them. I actually reference them a lot to people at my job at Cookies. Like when folks come in and they're like, "Wow, I have to pay this high tax. Wow, I have to do this," or "Why is it like this?" I'm like, "Oh, there's groups really trying to work on these issues. So check them out, check them out, check them out." Because people just genuinely don't know. So.
Right. Yeah, I was having this conversation the other day online. People were talking about how, well, this will get us knee deep into our conversation, I'd say, how, let's just say BS the system can be. I was like, it's important that we do talk about these things, so because some people aren't aware, and to the average consumer, they just show up at a dispensary. Like, this is the way I think of it. To an average consumer, they probably just pull out their phone and they're like, I want to get high today or this weekend. Like, they're either in the moment or they're preparing. And what they do is they probably just Google marijuana or something like that. And then they just go to the nearest store to them, and then they just pay whatever price you ask them to pay. They don't really think twice about it, you know?
I think we're starting to get like consumers who do shop around. I
Sure.
know like maybe daily I get like one or two people who are like, or they'll call like, "Hey, what do you guys have on sale? What sale are you running? Do you guys have more options or something?" Because we now have true competition in this town, which is great. That's great for the consumer from like a business standpoint. The more competition that you have, the better it is. It sucks that it's a semi just a perceived, because like in theory we have three stores here in the Bloomington Normal area, but two of them are the same company. So
Right.
is it really, is it
And
really?
like all the products on the shelves are like the same at every store. So it's
Yeah.
like
Well, so we get a little bit we get some folks, especially med patients, who come to shop with us because we offer like some smaller social equity companies. We have a lot of 1937, IC Collective, Galaxy Labs. We try to showcase these companies, that while especially, being a smaller social equity company ourselves, we gotta work together. I think that was something that was brought up just recently, maybe watching something you put out. But companies do have to work together to get anything done, especially against larger MSOs who have all these resources. I think I was watching about the Craft Grow and so like thinking of these craft grows, they just got allowed, upped the max, like, and a newer limit now, like up to 14,000 square feet. But if they don't have the capital to expand, then where do we go from there? And then meanwhile, people are like, why am I paying so much more money for this or this? It sucks. These are companies that are literally working with their hand tied behind their back. And then on top of it, they're not getting the benefits of being able to be sold to the medical community at that 1% tax, break. So then, what do? So and I think people don't realize, even when you go to a recreational dispensary offering discounts, they're doing it at an expense to their profits. They're doing it because they genuinely just want you to come through the door. They want you to have these products. So it is kind of hard for, I think, the average consumer to understand some of these issues.
And what I meant earlier, I think you're absolutely right. I just want to first off say that you're absolutely right that consumers, like consumers, are starting to shop smartly. There's a lot of talk about, like, Missouri and Michigan and how pricing compares there. So, and that's influencing how things work here. What I meant to say was, like, I said average consumer, and again, I just want to say you're absolutely right. I meant to say average person. So, like a person that just, because to the average person, the issue of cannabis legalization is over because there's these stores and it's like, well, what's the big deal? And like I know somebody that just started smoking and they didn't even, first of all, they didn't even know that, like, they just accepted the prices as they were. But then, second of all, ended up taking them to Michigan and they were like, holy crap, I've been to a dispensary so many times in Illinois. I didn't know this is what dispensaries are like, where they play music and they, like, kind of, they're not rushing you in and out. It doesn't feel like the TSA, you know?
We actually the biggest compliment we get at Cookies is that we have a completely different vibe. We're not trying to rush you out. Like, I personally love the consumer, the customer who is asking questions. I will spend sometimes a half hour, an hour talking to somebody, going over like options, talking to them about dosing, cannabinoids, the difference between full spectrum hash, live resin, live rosin, especially with edibles and such. Like, I love that. That's like one of my favorite things. And when I worked at the medical store, having that kind of conversation was a little bit harder because, the overall volume was increased. And then you had maybe less folks that, on the sales floor. At Cookies, we tend to have like maybe three, four people on the sales floor all the time, and we have like a good synergy, a good, we work together really well. The place is set up, so we're not like running around a little maze with our like chickens with our heads cut off, trying to get the product, taking 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, to go get it, So we have that. Plus, we have a smell bar. So that's more like going out of state, where you can actually see stuff. Again, it's like it's on like this little wire retractor thing. It's in a little jar. It's Illinois' version, but
I am glad to
we're
see
able
that
to.
return. Most people don't know that you can do that. So to reiterate what I thought you said, you have a smell bar. In other words, you could smell the products.
So at our store, and I think it's probably at every Cookies. We have a full ounce in eight different jars, and we will usually have, cookie strains, of course, and then we'll have like whatever new product we're having, and so you get to see it. We try to, get to smell it. And that's really important too, because as soon as you smell it, you almost know whether you're gonna like it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you kind of like, either you're gonna go, or you're gonna be like, yes, give me more. And so, like, I always tell people, pay attention to what your body, is saying, and we even have one of my coworkers brought a little bag of coffee, so like you can kind of reset your nose in between, which is important, and so yeah, it's pretty cool. It's one of the, funnest parts of my job,
See, and I just want to commend you for a moment. The fact that you do take the time and your staff does take the time and to have those conversations. But then not only that, you have the smell bar so that it's one of my biggest complaints about the Illinois cannabis market right now. Like, not only are the prices so high, but you're making a leap when you purchase a product because you literally can't see or smell it in most instances. I will say that, like, whenever I buy like a smaller amount, like, especially if I know the container you can see into, I will ask, may I, can you flip it upside down? May I see into it? You know,
We
go ahead.
always do that. Also, we have the certificate of analysis for nearly every product. That is something that is really big with our staff to get. Like, they will literally be like emailing people, like, we really want to see the certificate of analysis. And then when we have a customer come in and say, I really liked this the last time, and we can look up what they had the last time. We can check the terpene profile. We can see, like, the cannabinoids, different things, and we can try to be like, oh, you got something super similar, And having people on staff that are able to do that, it really helps a customer be, in charge of, like, their own body in a way. Like, that's the biggest thing I really loved about seeing with medical cannabis is that it helped people take charge of their own, like, health, right? Like, sometimes when you go to the doctor's office, you're just told, do this, do that. This is what you should be doing. This is what you're not doing. And, like, with cannabis, it's always going to be like, we're just going to figure it out. You've got to test it. Not everybody wants to hear you should keep a weed journal. but it is something you should do if you are really interested in what helps you the best. And, so we're able to help our customers through that. And I appreciate that so
Yeah.
much.
Yeah. That is, I think, one of the most interesting parts about medical cannabis itself. It is really, it's like one of the first, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong on this. I feel like it's one of the first ways in which you are like truly taking care of yourself. And that could be great and that can be bad, but let's just like talk about it in an ideal situation. Like you say, you're able to keep a journal, sample different things, find something that works for you. And that's pretty cool. Like I say, the flip side of it kind of sucks if you have, if you don't have good luck or you're in a bad market and it's all left
Well,
up to your own avail, you know what I mean?
and I've gotten one of the feedbacks I've gotten so many times when I, like, will start a sale with someone is, you ask a lot of questions. And I'm like, well, in order to do my job correctly, I have to ask a lot of questions. And
Yeah.
I say, I beg to actually say that if you are working with somebody who's not asking you these questions, then maybe you need to work somewhere. Like, talk to somebody else, like, because in order to get you the most ideal product, even just for whatever, like, you could be like, I'm going home to get high, relax, and smoke weed, play video games. Okay, cool. Well, so you want to be, like, restful but alert. Okay, let me go ahead and mute that notification, I think.
Oh, I didn't even hear it, so you're all good.
Oh, okay, sweet. I couldn't tell if it was coming through or not because I couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
But we can find something, like, obviously you're not going to want to have something that's too heavy, and we can get you that way. But in order to do it, I got to be inquisitive, and I always try to leave with giving somebody a little bit more knowledge, especially if somebody's starting to ask me questions. I kind of, like, will test how much, like, knowledge they're willing to take in, because, like, anybody with maybe a little bit of education background, I'm a former education major, you have to ask questions to kind of meet somebody at the level where they're at, and then you build from there. So.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I'm glad that, like, the reason I was commending you is because, you know, we've talked, I've interviewed other budtenders from other, you know, places, and they were not happy with the working conditions. And one of the things I told them kind of bluntly was like, you know, Illinois, the market didn't seem to be set up for the position that you, at the time, it didn't seem to be, or at least I don't mean to say the Illinois market, just that's a pretty broad brush that I just painted. How about the place that they worked specifically? The culture just wasn't a match for exactly what you just described, where you would take the time. And so it's cool to hear that people are giving you the space to do that job. What the job that people typically think of when they think budtender or wellness advisor or whatever you're call, you know, whatever they call you there. Because what I the point I made to them, and it didn't feel good to say this, but it validated how they were feeling in a weird way. I was like, hear me out, don't get mad at me. I said, you're basically the arm in a vending machine. Because they like point at what you at what they want, and you go over and you grab it, and then you drop it into a basket after they give you the money. But when what you're doing makes it so that you're not that. But like I say, it felt weird to say that to them. But they were like, you know what, Cole, you've actually like while that may have been hard for you to say, that is exactly how we feel, and we want to be more than that. We want to be more than an arm in a vending machine, and it sounds like you're able to do that where you're at.
I know, absolutely. I am grateful every day for my bosses, and the owners of our establishment because they really do want us to be involved as the community. They value what we say. And I don't want people to think, especially my former coworkers, that I didn't feel valued individually by my bosses when I was working at the med store. I felt valued, but we're a corporation. I can't say
Right.
I felt valued by the entire corporation, even though there were people who definitely were supportive of me. It just takes, a lot to get up the channels. In fact, my club was working on something that would have benefit our med store, our med patients in this area, but we couldn't even get our flyer, which had a survey link to it, out in the lobby of the dispensary at the med store because corporate was like dragging their heels about approving it. Kind of sucked for us because we had this great initiative to try to get the bus route switched to North Normal so people could get to the med store easier. But in the end, my thought, if we're not getting anywhere up the corporate ladder, then maybe we'll just pivot and try to help med patients in all the state, the entire state, and offer our voice to initiatives to maybe get the med patients access to every dispensary, which not only would help them, it would immensely help our social equity dispensaries, which are opening up left and right, that are just having to compete with, these medical stores that have just literally inherently more customers than them because they can service the community at that 1% tax rate. So.
Yeah. And I think the most frustrating thing about that specific scenario, other than like all of the issues that you just, talked about that it causes, is that there really is, and you know this because you worked at a medical dispensary, but I've talked to other people, I've even talked to dispensaries themselves. There is no difference between adult use and medical cannabis. Especially when you, in just to like quickly, complete the point. It's like if I go to my local medical dispensary, as they tell me, anything on the menu I can purchase at the medical cannabis tax rate, except for, and this is just a nuanced issue that we can talk about if you'd like. It sounds like your dispensary found a way around it. I've heard of others that have also found a way around it. It sounds like it's point of sale related, but they will, this my local dispensary says you can buy anything on the menu at the medical tax rate, except for the craft products,
Yes. And
So.
that's another disservice to our craft. Our social equity grows, especially from a state. And this is where I almost want to be like, shame on you, Illinois. Maybe the mom in me comes out and being like, why did you try to be the model of social equity for cannabis if you're not going to actually give your social equity companies, dispensaries, craft grow, infusers alike, an even playing field, which is going to
Yeah.
give them access to the medical patients? I hated wild gummies, for example. I don't hate wild gummies. I love them. Sorry, I didn't want to preface with that.
Yeah.
But what I hated was when I worked at the med store, somebody would come in and they like, I need something that's high CBD, low THC, because I have to stay functional during the day. And we would have maybe only the 20-to-1 wilds left and not the 20-to-1 Juanas, which would have, been able to be sold at their medical 1% tax rate. So then I'd be like, oh, well, we do have this other product, but it's a recreational only product. And so, some people would pay the tax because that was what they needed to get through their day. So literally, this is medicine that they need to get through their day, and they have to buy it paying tax on it. Or on the flip side, I think for a while we ran wild weekends, which were 25% off to help offset the VAT. But then, and this is like just a stupid little thing people don't realize, is you have to go in and change this patient's, from medical to rec. You have to like log out again, log back in again, cash them out, and then you need to go back and put them in as a medical patient because then they might accidentally not see that the next time because we're just hurrying up getting people in the door that they were accidentally checked in as a recreational shopper. It's a very easy thing to mistake in. And so you have to really do your due diligence and stuff like that. And so not only is it like kind of annoying to have to go through and explain to your med patients, you're probably spending an extra 10 minutes where there's, 13, 14, 15 med patients behind them angrily looking at you. Some of them grumbling like, oh my God. Oh my God, why am I waiting? Well, you're waiting because the state only allowed for 50 some medical dispensaries. That's why you're waiting. It's not my fault, sir, ma'am, whoever,
Yeah, whatever, exactly. Well, one thing I did figure out, and I'm saying this, I needed to write an article because, not everybody follows or is on Instagram and such. And I don't think I've actually formally shared this on the podcast yet. So it's a great time to talk about it. I've talked to dispensaries, and I swear every time, first of all, before I even go any further on this topic, every time I talk about this topic, I confuse myself and I feel like I confuse others. I say that to say, folks, just like, I'm just trying to share what I've been told. And I actually feel this is the best thing I have. This is the best I have felt about this subject. So I'd like to move forward with some confidence. But I will just acknowledge that every time I've ever talked about this subject, I get like, I just hear so many different things, right? But so we're talking about, craft and whether or not you can sell it at a medical dispensary at the medical tax rate. And it does sound like it's a point of sale issue. And I thought this was the case in the past because I was talking to certain people that had a specific point of sale error that they were getting. But now this person is saying, yes, Dutchie lets us ring in all AU product for medical now. Before we had it blocked to do so because of unclear guidance from compliance officers, LOL. Off the record, state doesn't like their name being talked about. But I just wanted to share this because this is the most recent thing I've learned. And yeah, what were you going to add to this?
So that makes perfect sense now. I one of our advisors in the club works at Beyond Hello part-time and works at the on campus. And he had mentioned something about that. So I was like, oh, interesting. And that makes sense because, different, if you're using Dutchie, if you're using Trees, I'm not super aware of any other POS operating systems for cannabis in Illinois, but those seem to be the two biggest ones.
Yeah. Well, and one thing I wonder about it, these softwares are made for multiple states, and it's I don't know that I think what we do in Illinois is sort of rare in that we because if you go to Michigan and you purchase medical cannabis, there are not as many companies licensed to grow medical cannabis anymore. And in fact, I've even heard that, obviously, this is another paint with a broad brush statement, so take it for what it's worth. But I've heard that you're better off shopping adult use in Michigan because even though they do honor reciprocity for our medical cards here in Illinois, you're still getting it at roughly the same price and you're getting access to fresher products because there are more people participating and the products are being purchased so often that you're definitely getting, especially if you're shopping smartly and inspecting, like you said, smelling the product, making sure you're listening to your body, you're getting a better product. And yeah, I guess what I'm saying is in every other state, I could be wrong on this because I don't know the details on every other state, but at least every other state that I'm aware of, Colorado and Michigan, medical and adult use is a separate counter, and there is no mixing the two. Like it both either way, so adult use can't buy medical and medical can't buy adult use. But in Illinois, medical can theoretically, hypothetically, if you're at a dual use dispensary, in other words, one that has a medical license and adult use, you should, as I understand it, and as the Cannabis Regulation Oversight Office told us on the Chillinoy podcast, you should be able to purchase those at the medical tax rate. I think what has happened is these solutions are made for other states. And so it's almost like this is a customization for my IT folks that are listening. This is a customization for the Illinois, for the state of Illinois, sounds like. Could be
Yes,
wrong.
so I think you're right because I definitely know with the operating system that we use, there's a lot of features to it that don't really pertain to what we need them for Illinois. So that makes a lot of sense. And I am familiar with both trees and duchies. So like, both of those operating systems. But the thing is, we have no federal legalization, so there's no federal kind of like baseline for this is what we should do. There's no
Well, and there's
standardization.
no, I didn't mean to cut you
And
off.
I
I was
think,
just gonna, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
oh no, I was just going to say, I think there needs to be a standardization across the board. I think that's probably one of the biggest things this industry could absolutely benefit from, kind of like how the US Department of Ag oversees a lot of the standardization of ag products, especially like a standardization at some point on a global market. Because like I don't think people realize like there's cannabis being traded at a global market already, and we're just kind of like we haven't joined that yet. And I kind of think we need to, And so yeah, having like a set standard would be great, especially for testing and whatnot. Having some guidelines overall so you're not, in a sense, like if you have an insurance card, you can take your insurance card and go to nearly every hospital. Some things are going to be in whatever the little nuances with it. But for the most part, you know what I'm saying? You can do that. And right now, I think there's only a handful of states that have that sort of reciprocity with Illinois medical card. And we don't take medical cards from out of state unless maybe you go to Cookies, and we do because we do accept out-of-state medical cards for that 25% discount because you're still paying tax. It's a discount,
And this is a little bit more point of sale focus, but to your point of standardization, we're lacking standards there as well, as far as I'm concerned. I've heard that basically every dispensary you go to or work at, and do correct me on wrong if I'm wrong on this, because I have never worked at a dispensary and you have, but I've just heard that like the point of sale is always this like conglomeration of solutions that are kind of like slapped together. And I guess the point I'm trying to make is that if it's not resonating with you or the listeners right now, the point I'm trying to make is that you do not see big companies you've ever heard of actually involved in this space yet, because, well, I have guesses as to why. My main guess is like they don't even know if seed to sale is going to be a thing. Like, we don't have seed to sale for alcohol and cigarettes, and so who knows if seed to sale, it like these small companies that are available, like existing right now, like who knows if they're even going to be needed anymore. But anyways,
Well, so I think that there's not like it's going to check out at a dispensary is definitely not like going to the supermarket. Tap to pay is not usually a thing at places. We have it at Cookies now, but I think this week we just got that. You can't use your credit card at many dispensaries. And if you do, it's kind of like a weird little workaround that they have to do. And you know what I'm saying? Like, not we in the store, but like whatever they use to process your payment, there's a weird little workaround. But these are third-party systems that are all working together to get, this payment processed more easily for the consumer and such, but it's not easy really. We constantly have, having updates or having to tell people like, oh, I know last week we didn't accept this card, but now we do, So it just kind of sucks. I wish there was a lot of consistency, but I always premise with, well, that's what we get with this federal gray area we live in, of not really having access to banking, not having access to those, things. And, honestly, I think those fees that are attached to it are predatory, but are they predatory for coming from your dispensary? They're not. They're actually a third party company that's able to, take between $3 and I've heard up to like maybe $5 for some of the fees and such. And yeah, it's kind of annoying. You don't you don't get those kind of fees usually when you go pay your bills. I mean, sometimes, you know, there's like an online processing fee or something like that, but not usually, you know.
Yeah. And you'd be, I just wanted, this is, you can totally view this as a selfish plug. It sort of is. But it also, just to explain to people, the show is called The Cole Memo for exactly the reason you just said. We are living in this federal interference. It is also, of course, a cheesy wink to my own name. But this is what allows this state by state legal cannabis market system, for lack of better words, to go forward without federal interference. So, just, trying to spread the knowledge. And to your
Yeah.
point, I wonder what you think about this. I know that this really upends everything. And I know that this isn't an totally apples to apples comparison. I guess it is. It's almost like apples to apples. There are many different apples, but they're all apples. So let's check out this video. I was recently in Southern Illinois and I went into this gas station, and let's just see what I saw. So obviously there's the gas station pills and stuff like that.
Oh,
The
yeah.
let's call them performance pills. Then you've also got these Delta 8 pre-rolls. And then you've got Delta 9 gummies, it looks like, which is just exactly what you would buy at the dispensary, Delta 9 gummies. The Delta
Yeah.
8 is obviously, I don't know if I would ever buy these, but the point I'm trying to make is the dispensary model is just, it's like, why do we have the dispensary model if we, I mean, this seems better. I know it's, I wouldn't buy these products, but this seems like the better way to do it. Just like, oh, I'll go to the gas station, I'll go to, like you said, Walmart or whatever.
You know, I honestly live for the day that you can go there and get like a really quality product, you know, that you can trust. 'Cause yeah, I wouldn't buy them 'cause I don't trust them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what they put in there. I don't know what they're in. And
Right.
we know that testing even in Illinois is not really what it should be, or you know, but I feel like it's definitely a little bit better than that, right? I'd like to see, you know, I think, you know, the Farm Bill of Well, I don't think the Farm Bill opened up that loophole for that to be allowed. And I think, you know, smart business people, yeah, that's a great way. Like, I've even often thought of when I graduate, you know, would that be a great, you know, segue into the industry is to start with hemp. But I would do my due diligence and become, you know, I'd be part of the self-regulated hemp folks and not, you know,
Right,
whatever that might be, you know, like no shade to them. I don't really know, but like, do I trust it? No. Do I trust half of what's sold in like these vape shops and stuff? Not even a little bit, you know.
but to your
I
point,
don't really think. Oh no, go
cookies, for
ahead.
example, cookies is doing that, for example. They're
Oh
selling
yeah.
hemp.
No, exactly,
So.
absolutely. And I think I've seen wild hemp stuff, and I've seen
1906.
1906 up Can, I think, is another one.
Can, yep.
And I think that's great. I think that these are also names that you can trust that really want to have a quality product, especially wild. Like, I really love their products and the fact that they have like specific cannabinoids. You know, I'm a very much of an intentional edible person. You know, I like to microdose, but I like to microdose intentionally. And so it's, you know, having a company like that you can trust is great, you know, like, but you know, whatever. You don't know what you're finding in some of these, you know, shops, you know, like literally. And it kind of makes me mad because it's like, you know, they could be selling stuff that, well, they are selling stuff that's exactly the same, but should they be, you know, like if you're, you know, we take classes on, you know, how, what these products are. We do the responsible vending, you know, and it's nothing new. If you work with alcohol, if you are a server, you do similar things. So, you know, like I just think that, yeah, we kind of need, you know, that sort of thing, some sort of oversight, make it like even across the board. You know, also, if we're paying the heavy cost of regulation and having to have such a high tax associated with it, why aren't these vape shops? Why aren't these, you know, it's,
What do you think
I
about,
feel like it's not fair.
if the cookies products are the wild products, what if they, 'cause I agree, I don't know who the hell these brands are, and I did not buy them. I don't know who they are. I'd have to do some research before I would feel comfortable. But like, what if you walked in and you saw wild and cookies, and I mean, that sounds cool, right? Doesn't it sound cool to like not just to
Yeah.
be able to get a pop and some chips and a joint?
Right. No, it sounds great. You know, that I feel like at some point is hopefully where we're heading as a country, and in, you know, maybe 5 years' time or something, we'll be there. Hopefully we should be. You know, we've had cannabis now in some areas of the country for what, almost 20 years? Like, in my opinion, is like, why are we still allowing this? Why are we still putting up with it? You know? And I think what it, like, and this is going off on a side tangent, is there's too many people not working together than there are working together. Because if we all work together, we would have things the way we want it to be, you know. And I think that, you know, everyone would benefit, especially the consumer, you know, because right now in many states, you're not seeing like consumer benefit, you know, we're seeing the big companies benefit. And that's not really fair, especially if from coming from medical direct, you know, we should still be benefiting our medical populations. So.
And the reason I brought up that point is because I definitely, as you could tell by me saying, like, I don't know that I would buy these products either. So I like to go ahead.
Oh, and I was going to say, if I don't, I realized I didn't actually answer. If I saw a cookies product in a group, and I'd probably be like, okay, let me see where that's grown at. Because, like,
Sure.
you know, I'm going to pull up my cookies Mark bar here. You know, it says, you know, probably, maybe it does not say grown by Rev. Oh, no, it says RevCana. So, you know, you know where it's grown. And, you know, I trust you know, Revolution as a company, you know, because I've seen so many of their products be solid. You know, if I picked up cookies and I'm like, doesn't say where this is grown, okay, weird, you know.
Yeah, I
So
wonder if the cookies, because they, like I say, they sell hemp. So I wonder if the products they sell say where they're grown, like the hemp, where the hemp, quote unquote hemp is grown, you know, because they sell the THCA products and like a wild, like I wonder if on the wild or 1906 hemp products, if they say where they're grown. I mean, I'm sure it's got the testing standards, but like you say, that's an interesting point that I didn't think
Well,
about.
and like in Illinois, Wild is you know, they're an infuser, you know, working with, you know, under Crown, which brought Enliven Edibles. And they, I believe, get their, well, not I believe, they get their raw materials outsourced, you know, as do most of the infusers. Well, I would say most all of the social equity infusers have that issue that they have to deal with. And so, you know, yeah, it is a question of, you know, where is this grown at? But in, you know, Illinois, at least, you know, stuff that's strain specific, you can get an idea of where it's grown at just based on the strain, you know, because, you know, those of us who work in dispensaries are especially not stupid because we see all the product, you know, so we know. But the consumers aren't stupid either. They know. And if they don't know, we're going to tell them, you know, like at least, you know, the conscience, the people who care to have a good repertoire with their, you know, customers and stuff. So.
I guess the thing I find interesting about it is that if you look, I'm not going to pull it up right now because last time I did, one of the people that host our videos took it down because they thought I was advertising for cookies. But on the cookies website, the hemp THC website, I won't say any more because I don't want to be accused of advertising, but there's a map that shows where they sell their products, and they're not selling them in Illinois. They're selling them in a lot of states where there aren't state legal programs. And I just wonder, like you said, it's a weird thing for me when people talk about the subject, because they're like, people talk about the bad actors, right? And the potential for people to take advantage of the looseness of the law. And I'm like, well, then that's all the more reason for these big companies to get involved in this space, in this state. Like I say, when it's like, if you were to go into a gas station or something and see wild and see brands that, like you say, most people know and know is reputable, it's like, okay, well, then there goes this idea. Or I think it would even make the idea of gas station hemp even more like stint, what's the word I'm looking for? You know how some people, like you just talked about, and even I said when I showed that video, I'm like, I don't know that I would, it just doesn't have a good look. I don't know that I would ever buy these. But if you see a brand you recognize, I think that you'll feel more comfortable with that. And it will also make when you see things like that even more like pronounced. It's like, what the fuck? I've never heard of these brands. So then it will cause, I feel like, more informed consumers because they'll be like, ah, I know places that carry cookies. I know places that carry Wild. Why would I buy this Blaze Delta 10 or whatever?
No, absolutely. I feel that and as far like I had a point I was going to make to like, cookies selling to like kind of like the I would say prohibition states. At least that I look at it, at least it is a name you can trust and you're able to get a product that is probably a product you can at least trust and buy legally. For now, who knows what the farm bill will bring about in the fall. And that's great. But I think that also, there are some states that are cracking down because I think I remember seeing like Cookie, Stizzy, and a few other folks that are like getting sued by Georgia or something like that, if I remember
Yeah, so
correctly.
to your point, Berners just gave an interview about this THCA product. He was basically saying, "Go all in. What's the big deal?" They basically legalized weed, and then I think it was a week later there was a RICO case against Cookies. I didn't actually know Steezy and the other brands were involved, but I did know that. Yeah, apparently I can Google it. But sorry, I feel like I just cut you off. I'll
Oh
pull up
yeah.
the story
Oh
while you're talking.
no. Yeah, but I just like I feel like right now it's just there's so many unknowns, and so like if people want to get names that they can trust in having like a solid trust in the market, we need to have some sort of, we need to kind of eliminate these gray areas in my opinion when it comes to, cannabis because, right now there's so much misinformation that's going around, about, hemp, Delta 8, Delta 9, that even like when you like or like me, I'll try to educate people on it and I just sound like, it's almost like do you even know what you're talking about? Because it sounds like confusing as hell, trying to explain it to people. And it's not one of my favorite aspects of the industry at all. Like it's just kind of like if you were trying to bring some sort of standardization and respect to, this already kind of like counterculture type of thing, I don't know. I can't quite articulate what I'm saying. It's ridiculous, in my opinion.
I get it. I get it. Yeah. I think what it comes down to for a lot of people that get nervous, would this maybe help you substantiate your thoughts? People get nervous when they hear the word synthetic cannabinoids. Is that
Yes,
what it's
yeah.
coming down to?
I think that is what it's coming down to. And I mean, what I try to explain to people too, I actually just did a terpene talk for my club and I did a lot of research on that. And even in a lot of the research that I did, it came back to there needs to be more research, especially around like the entourage effect, because there's a lot of folks who are like, this isn't the thing or this is the thing. And even with that just minor component of cannabis, not having enough research done to it, it kind of like leads to, when you tell people like, oh yeah, well we have to, the science is still out on that, or well this is what we know about it right now. Like you don't realize how like if you want to do your job well in cannabis, you have to stay like up on all these things that are just ever changing. And it's almost reminds me of like when people were like so on the fence about the COVID vaccine, and it was just like, well, you just need to do more research. We're still learning, and that sort of thing. And it's like, well, this is not kind of what you want to tell people when you want to instill confidence in something, but I feel like, here we are, still, and we're getting there.
Yeah. This hemp thing has just thrown a whole like weird loop into things because one of the things that has always been that has made this topic weird for me, and it's like most interesting, I guess, is because this has been so focused on Delta 8, which a lot of people rightfully, I think, say is a synthetic cannabinoid because it doesn't naturally occur in the plant. And if it does, it's at low levels. So from what I understand, they're like taking CBD and converting it into Delta-8 THC. And depending on the conversion method you use, from what I understand, it could be not safe. But what I will say is that the first place I ever tried Delta-8 was at an Illinois dispensary. It was a grassroots product. I don't have the picture right now, but I've posted it on my Twitter because I always thought it was weird that all of a sudden Delta-8 was being demonized as like almost a dangerous cannabinoid. And it's like, but wait a minute. The first place I ever tried it at was a dispensary. This was never a gas station product per se. And what I found was that, yeah, Illinois cannabis operators can and do source hemp for their materials. So it's not that any of these cannabinoids I've found, because that's it was always a weird thing for me. And I finally had a testing lab on, and I asked, like, it's you're not saying that Delta 8 is dangerous, right? And he's like, not the cannabinoid itself. It's how they are making it, and if they are making it in a safe way, you know. And so to that I say, and I know that other people have proposed this, it's like we should just subject all of these operators that do have products on the shelves to the same testing standards as the dispensaries.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to
I
have it on,
completely agree. Yeah.
yeah.
I completely agree. I think that that is like a bare minimum thing in my opinion. You know, 'cause if you think about it, and I mean it really kind of goes back to you know, you can go get Tylenol from any place basically under the sun and it's going to have the same sort of like, you know, regulations it's under. Do I think that cannabis needs to be like the FDA regulated? No, Department of Ag is where I think it more should go, being still it's an ag product and that sort of thing. But you know, like we definitely need to have some sort of standardized, you know, way to do it. And that, you know, that should be something that I think each state's, you know, set out to do. And then the federal government, you know, needs to obviously do something, you know. But it kind of makes us all look like bad actors in the cannabis industry when we don't have that. And there's nothing we can do about it, you know what I'm saying? Like as like dispensary employees or, you know, even, you know, some of these small business owners and such, you know, your kind of hands are tied by what the laws currently are, you know, and obviously there's a lot of stuff that needs to be kind of updated, you know.
Yeah, and you know, I did not plan to talk about a simp as long as we did, but it was a fun conversation. I wanted to give you space. You know, was there anything we didn't talk much? We definitely started talking about Cannabis Club Breadbirds and all the fun things that you have
Yeah.
upcoming. But I wanted to give you the space. Did you want to talk about anything else specifically you got going on,
Oh,
you're excited
yeah.
for? Or...
Yeah, I have a little list I'm going to read from because, you know,
Sure.
stoner here. We have an apparel sale. I actually, when I get off this call, I'm going to call to get that set up. It should be opening up after our spring break, so roughly 2 weeks from now, I believe. It will stay open. The store will stay open for 2 weeks after that. And then the local company that we use to screen print the products will ship them out. So probably get stuff before May would be the hope because we like to try to have all the stuff out before graduation. And that will benefit the club for some of our endeavors. We're hoping to make it out to like different conferences and such and, you know, keep doing cool stuff that we do. We also will have our quad event. I think I talked about that. We may have some members go to the Eclipse event that's sponsored by Illinois News Joint. We're still kind of working on that to see if logistics wise it works for us. And we have some really great speakers coming. Every Monday we have meetings, and as long as we have a speaker, we don't mind if, you know, folks from the public, you know, come. I think that most of our monthly like schedule, or I think our semester schedule is out on social medias, but if not, I will make sure that our social media person gets that put up there so people can find out. It'll say where we're located and everything. So yeah, I'm really excited. We'll be talking to somebody from New Era next Monday. He's also an alumni of the club. We'll be talking with Felix from the Bettering Company, which is a smaller social equity company. Trying to think. Yeah, we got the Chicago Canner Nurse. going to be there. So I'm really excited. Yeah,
Yeah.
we've done some cool stuff already this semester, and we're going to keep the ball rolling with that.
Yeah, I saw that you have some person named Cole from the Cole Memo on the
I
25th.
figured you'd want to plug yourself, but yes. I'm excited, honestly, and so are a lot of our club members. We had one member request to make the flyer for your speaking engagement with us. Sorry.
Oh, gotcha.
Start smoking and I forget words.
No, it's okay.
But
Hey,
yes.
all too
So we're
familiar with
really
that.
excited though.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're hoping to kind of do a little bit of like a more in-depth social media campaign just to kind of figure that out. You know, a few of us want to get into like the business side of cannabis and doing that sort of thing. So we like to test our skills out on club stuff. So
That's super cool. That's super cool. Well, I'm
yeah.
excited for the Redbird Cannabis Club, and yeah, I'm just excited for what the future can hold for this. It's really cool to see what you mentioned earlier in the show, which is like a partnership where maybe I'm not describing that completely accurate, but you said you received a request from like another area in the college, like, hey, we would like this topic covered. That's so cool.
Yeah, that was one of the most surprising things I found within the college is I kind of maybe expected to be ostracized a little bit. And you know, there's still a lot of folks who are like, oh, they're just smoking pot over there, I know it, you know. But then when people actually do come to a meeting and they realize, you know, we're talking a lot about, you know, the industry, but there's so many small nuances, you know, that we've already gone into that we get into a lot at the meetings. And so, you know, folks that are maybe just consumers, they don't really think about where their pot comes from. Their eyes are open to this. Recently we've had a couple of grad students doing a project on our club, and neither one of them are consumers of cannabis, but they are so deeply moved by what we're going through. Like they really just had no idea. So I feel like even the non consumers of cannabis out there would be moved to want to help maybe, or if they just knew about some of the ordeals that we go through as an industry, because people don't realize, you know, they think, oh, they're just going to get legalized soon. Just soon. It's going to happen soon. But what does that mean? You know what I'm saying? They don't realize that like the whole thing means it could mean so many different things depending on the avenue that's taken. And it's, you know, it's crazy, you know, to think that, you know, here we are almost 20 years later, and what all have we gained other than, well, there's been a lot of gains, but you know, it's still not where the industry could be. You know, we could be trading cannabis on a global level, but we're not. You know, we could
Right.
have nice things, but we don't.
Right.
So sorry, I go off on a few different tangents, but
No.
back to the club though. I think that, you know, we're doing a lot of good stuff. We're trying to get people educated. I know that that's still a goal of mine. Once I graduate, I'm going to try to take some of the presentations that I presented to the club and go to local libraries and any place that will have me, and you know, kind of present on some of these topics. Because, you know, I might not be the most knowledgeable person, but I have at least a great understanding of stuff, and I feel like most of the time I can explain it in a non-convoluted way.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, yeah, like I say, this is super cool to see different cannabis clubs pop up at colleges. And if you're in a cannabis club at any college right now, you know, I say we sometimes. I don't know why I do that. I like think of the podcast as a collective we. I have traveled to different colleges in the state and would be happy to travel to yours if you're doing something. I've been to the University of Illinois, Southern Illinois University Carbondale, and we've talked to people from other colleges as well, you know, adjunct professors at Olive Harvey and others that I'm probably forgetting about right now, but that's okay. The point being that, you know, if you're involved in higher education and want to talk about cannabis science, let's do it. And I always cannot say that without avoiding the pun that I just made. Higher education. Anyways, yeah. Well, it's been a blast talking this morning. We should do this again. And
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm curious to see. I'll have to try to make it to some of these other speeches. I have to try to make it, especially to. It sounds like you have a stellar lineup. I wish I could make it to all of them. But I'll have to that one you mentioned with the Chicago cannabis nurse or Katie Sullivan, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So that'll
Yeah,
be exciting.
please make it out anytime. We've had on an occasion like Heartland students coming through and that, and I know like last semester it was a little hard because our meeting time was during like their classes for the cannabis cultivation. But we're also willing to partner with any organization. We've met with the U of I Hemp Club before, and there's some cool people
Nice.
out there. I've been kind of trying to connect with a few other student organizations. So, myself, just because we also kind of got to band together because I feel like people don't realize, even as a student club, we're still on like a precarious little ledge here. We at any time when one of our members kind of fucks up, so to speak, we could be held accountable for that. And I've learned recently that like we have to hold each other accountable. So I had to create some bylaws in place for my club. That way, when I leave, this can go on into existence and keep going, because really the bottom line is we want people to take us seriously. And sadly, to do that, you kind of have to toe the line a little bit, which
Sure.
as stoners we don't like to do.
Right. Yeah.
But it's okay.
Got to get along, go along to get along, right?
Yep, exactly. So you can still smoke weed while doing it, just not on campus at
Yeah,
all.
right. Yeah. Oh, the bummers of smoke-free Illinois. But yeah, it is what it is, like you say, on campus.
Yeah.
So well, like I say, this is probably just the first of many chats we have. Looking forward to the future of the Redbird Cannabis Club. Once again, folks, the
Yeah.
links will be in the podcast description if you want to go to the website, which has links to all of their social media, contact information, and so much more. You know, there's pictures and information about the club, so check it out. And just wanted to give you the space for the last word. Jackie, what you got?
Well, I actually just want to say thank you to you for your support, because it does mean the world to us. We're really grateful when we do get the support, and I'm grateful. Sometimes I'm a little surprised, like, oh, wow, but that's just me, like I started this with the intention of there was going to be five of us talking about pot, and now there's 110 of us,
Dude,
so
yeah.
I'm excited. Yeah.
Well, you're
This
met,
has grown
yeah.
by out.
Sorry.
Beyond my wildest dreams. So like I'm excited. I really can't wait to see like the next wave of leadership come out of the club. We have some amazing people that have just been asking the right questions. And honestly, like I'm super proud. I'm super proud of my club. We've done a lot, and I feel like we we're definitely breaking the stigma. We're kind of pushing back and saying like, yeah, we're stoners, but we're still doing cool things. We've cleaned up garbage on the trail last semester. We're going to be, during our 420 event, we're actually going to raise food for the food pantries and such, which is a component I'll probably put out soon. But yeah, like we're doing some good, great things, and we just want the space and the ability to do that. So in any way that somebody wants to support the club, reach out, email me. We'll get you in our contact list. If you want to support our 420 event, definitely email me, and please put my IlSTU student email out there, so I don't mind at all.
Sweet. Yeah, folks, well, you heard it here. And I just got to say before we go, I apologize for cutting in there at the at while you were while I was giving you the last word. I did not I mean to do that, but I just wanted to say that, yeah, you're making history. So I'm happy that you've gotten the reception you have because you
Yeah.
deserve it. Trailbra
Thank you.
trailblazing, if I could say. Now I'm
Thank you.
having
I
trouble
appreciate
talking.
it. It's okay.
That's what happens sometimes when you smoke a joint. But you know,
Oh,
it is
yeah.
what it is. So, well, hey, folks, I hope you found as much value in this episode as I did. Once again, the links will be in the episode description. We'll see you in the next episode of the podcast, and maybe I'll see you out on 420 with the Cannabis Club Redbirds. I feel like I'm saying it different ways. Every time I see it, I see Cannabis Club Redbirds. Redbird Cannabis Club. Anyways,
It's yeah, either way works for us.
I love it.
I named it Cannabis Club Redbirds because I thought that sounded better, but then people will switch it and I'm like, hey, it's whatever, you know, as long as you get it, you know, close to right, Google will tell you the rest.
There you go. Well, anyways, folks, take care. Maybe I'll see you out there. Bye.